If you're looking to level up your points redemptions and make the most out of your points and miles, make sure you check out our step-by-step video tutorials on the GeoBreeze Travel YouTube channel. And if you're looking to level up your points earning game and get access to points earning techniques that you won't often find online, we're opening up for another cohort of my signature course, The Points Accelerator, very soon. You'll get access to exclusive offers like earning 5 points per dollar on fee-free Visa and MasterCard gift cards anytime you want without having to leave your couch to drive to Staples. Sign up for the waitlist by going to geobreezetravel.com/waitlist and check out what some of our students have to say about the course.
My name is Amy and I'm a student in the Points Accelerator program. It's been about 6 months since purchasing the course and I'm so excited that I just booked my first trip to Iceland on points. Me and two other people, family members, and we're going to a few different cities in Iceland, so multiple hotels, round trip flights to and from the US. And it's really exciting. I was able to gift this trip to family by paying for the whole thing in points. And if we had booked this trip with cash, it would have cost about $7,000. So I'm really excited to be saving that much money with what I learned in the Points Accelerator course. I think the course is really great at teaching you the steps you need, and for people who want to like really, really build all kinds of point systems and kind of get really into it, there's ways to do that. And for people who maybe want a simpler route, there's ways to get benefits out of it that way too. It's been a really great course and I'm so glad I took it.
When I started building my credit from YouTube, I watched all the YouTubers. I wanted to know how to get an American Express card. I wanted to know how to get a Chase card. The reason why I didn't get a Chase card is because I applied for too many cards, right? I didn't know what I didn't know. So don't set yourself up for failure by just going out applying blindly to all the things that people show you on YouTube because they want you to click on their links. Case in point to what you say, right? They just want you to click on their links. But the thing is people are not realizing that they don't care about your future. They just want you to click on the link. Okay. They just want you to watch the YouTube video that's clickbaity. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, just really understand what you're getting into is figure out what you really want. Where do I want to travel? What airline do I want to be on? What hotel do I want to stay in? Do these align?
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Radical Hughes, also known to many as the Radical Marketer on YouTube. Rad is a national recording artist, 7-figure content creator and coach, and the leader of his movement called the Radical Nation, which is an iconic, diverse group of creative entrepreneurs and small business owners that are spread throughout the world with one mission in mind, loving people and launching dreams. Rad has a YouTube channel called The Radical Marketer with over 135,000 subscribers at the time of this recording. Rad resides both in Las Vegas and Bali and has traveled to more than 18 countries, with Indonesia being his favorite. In this episode, Rad and I talk about some of the best credit cards out there that no one really talks about on Instagram because, spoilers, most points influencers only talk about the cards that they are paid to talk about. Speaking of which, shameless plug right now for these cards that I am paid to talk about. Rad and I talk about how a couple of our favorite loyalty programs right now are American Airlines and Hyatt, because you can basically buy your way to status by putting spend on co-branded credit cards like the World of Hyatt personal and business cards and the Citi Advantage card. Remember, if you decide to apply for any cards where there are referral or affiliate links available, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral links. If you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. We have links to the Hyatt and American Airlines cards and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Hey, Rad, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
What is up, my friend? So happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. And we are going to talk about all of the different credit cards that people don't really hear about on the internet because, spoilers, we're not paid to talk about them. So people don't talk about them as much. People usually just cover the cards that they are paid to talk about. But there's so much more to the world of credit cards than just what you hear about on most Points and Miles blogs. But before we jump into all of that, tell us about you. Tell us about your background and how did you even get into the game of points and miles or credit cards in the first place?
Well, thank you so much for having me, number one. My name is Dan, also known as Radical Hughes, the Radical Marketer on YouTube. My journey with credit was just kind of a fairly new one. I'm 37 years old, young, and I got into the credit game at the age of 30. I was the guy that always was paying cash for everything, thought I was cool by doing that, didn't realize the power of leverage. And when I got into the power of leverage and, you know, financial responsibility and personal finance, I really learned about this entire world where you really could travel for free and just really build an online business leveraging other people's money to build wealth. So that's kind of been my journey. I learned how to repair my credit, the entire credit game from YouTube. You know, just a couple of years ago, I launched my own channel to help people do the same thing. So I went back to the source that actually helped me out. And so recently learning the travel hacking game from people like yourself, I'm out here in Bali as I'm recording this right now, getting ready to go to Australia tomorrow and then Fiji the next day. And then I'm back in the US for a little bit. So it's just been super amazing being able to really learn how to leverage other people's money to build wealth. But on top of that, being able to travel luxury wise at pennies and dimes, to be honest with you, once you understand how these airline alliances work and you figure out what hotel chain suits you best. For me, it's I call myself Hyatt Hughes, right? I'm all about World of Hyatt. I'm only World of Hyatt. Second would be Hilton Hughes, but yeah, love it.
You said that you got into this game because you had to repair your credit. What went wrong with it at first? And what are some common things that you see that people do that mess up their credit in the first place to where they have to dig themselves out of the hole?
Right. That's a great question. I think that that question really is different for everybody. When it comes to myself, though, I never was exposed to credit. My mom lived paycheck to paycheck growing up in the Midwest. It was that kind of thing. Credit was also a negative connotation that if you were using credit, you were in debt. And so people associated where I was from that credit meant debt, and that was bad, unless it was quote unquote good debt, which is buying a home, which is also bad if you're not using it for cash flow. But that's a whole nother story. So that was kind of my experience when it comes to credit. So when you're never taught something, you think that a credit card is an open line of credit and you can buy whatever you want when you're 18 and go to the club and ball out and buy cars and things like that. And I was that guy at 18. I was that human. Don't be that human, everybody listening to me, that goes out and buys things and never pays them back. Horrible, horrible, horrible example in my life with finance, horrible relationship with money growing up, poverty mindset. When I had a credit card, that was free money, but that's not free money. It's money that you have to repay back with a lot of interest. So that was kind of my whole thing, right? And then being in sales my whole life, really being able to pay with cash for everything, I leaned on that muscle too much until the place where I'm like, man, there's got to be a better way. And so I really started taking it serious at the age of 30, watching people like Ask Sebi, watching people like Credit Shifu, Brian Zhang. These were people, and then eventually Credit Plug. These were the people that really built the foundation for myself where I could learn the game and now I could give the game back to others.
So when you were first getting started, what were some of the first cards that you got, or what were some other steps that you took in order to repair your credit and get your credit score up so that you could play the game of points?
Wow, you got some great questions. No wonder you're the number one podcast in the world, girl. I'm telling you, I'm so privileged to be here, by the way. Gio Brees, listen, she will not tell you, but she is the queen to travel, but she's also the queen of just running a beast of a business in all shapes and matters. But when it comes to my first credit card, I was part of the Barclays Club, man. I signed up for the Apple Rewards credit card with Barclays to get my first MacBook. That was kind of my introduction to credit cards, getting back in the game through Barclays. They switched it over to another card that I never even used, but never close your open accounts because that kills your credit. Okay, so that card is with me until I die. It's a great relationship that I have with Barclays. But after Barclays, believe it or not, it was Bank of America, Alaska Airlines credit card, right? So I was living in Seattle, and obviously Alaska is huge out there. And so getting into that was the next phase of me really starting to scale my credit cards. And then eventually after that, I got into the Aviator with Barclays. I got into the Platinum, started getting into American Express. And that was really kind of like, boom, right? And then eventually I got into the business credit cards, but I never knew about the business credit card game at first, right? You got to learn how to crawl before you can walk. So really maximizing personal credit cards that did soft pull increases. That's a big thing. A lot of people don't know what they don't know. You sign up for people like Capital One. You sign up people like Barclays. These are going to be cards that hard pull you when you want a credit limit increase. And a lot of people get pigeonholed with cards that don't actually give them credit limit increases So now their utilization's garbage, right? And if they're not using business credit cards and they have low limits and they're not paying their balances in full, they're wondering why their credit is going down or not improving. And that's really the biggest thing is utilization, right? And so the biggest way to solve that problem is, number one, paying in full every month, or number two, raising those credit limits every single quarter. Hey, would you mind giving me a soft pull credit limit increase? There's a lot of different ways that you could do that. I even leverage store cards with Synchrony to help me with that. A furniture card, believe it or not. I don't really recommend store cards, but in the situation of when you're rebuilding or you're starting your credit journey, you need somebody to take a shot on you and give you a high limit. So that way, when Bank of America says, oh, they have a $15,000, $20,000 credit card limit, we'll extend the same to them, right? Banks want to play in that same space and place that other people are playing in. So that's kind of my story, leveraging, you know, two credit cards, a store card to eventually get me into the American Express family. And I, believe it or not, I still don't have a Chase credit card because of the 524. I didn't know what I didn't know, but that's changing very, very soon. I'm almost up.
Yeah, lots of great gems in there. So you were talking about you went with Team Barclays first, eventually Team Bank of America. And I think that's a great place to start for us to talk about cards that people don't really talk about, because like that Barclays Aviator Red card, you just pay your annual fee and then charge a piece of candy to it, and then you get 60,000 usually. American yeah. Airlines.
Well, you gotta use the right name for it though, Julie. Remember when you're in my mentorship program, we called it the bubblegum card, right? The bubblegum card where you would just literally buy a stick of gum and get 60,000, 50,000 American Airlines miles, and you showed, I didn't even know the power of American airline miles until you actually broke that down for me. I'm like, I knew that that partnership was there with Hyatt, but wow, like you really broke that down to me. Like, you know, I'm getting ready to fly Avianca from Australia to LAX, right? And I didn't know that I could fly there for like 35, 40,000 miles on a one way. So now you've kind of opened up this whole world that if I need to get to my love here in Bali, I can get here through Doha. I can get here through Japan, but I can also come through the back door in Australia. And a lot of people don't realize that when you have these type of alliances, whether it's Star, whether it's, you know, One World, we don't like Delta, right? I don't like Delta. But when we have Star and when we have One World, these are really, really powerful alliances that can help you really, really leverage the point game. And just what you break down for people, I feel like, Julia, like, your channel, like we're gonna make sure your channel really, really skyrockets for YouTube, because people don't know what they don't know, right? And when it comes to like American Express, they're buying their tickets using their MR points and they're not getting the true value of these points, but we don't know what we don't know. And they're not like offering this information freely. And another thing that I love that you do, I know that like you're not asking for all these recommendations, but the world needs to hear how amazing you are on your own podcast. And the other thing is like, yo, like, man, like you are really anti-guru, queen anti-guru like myself. We're like contrarians in the fact of like, you're all about the links, all about the affiliate links and giving people credit card offers, but like your integrity is not for sale, right? And like what you also talked about in my mentorship program was the reason why people are not talking about Barclays is they're not being rewarded or having an affiliate offer with Barclays for the most part. So they're not pitching that. But when it comes to travel, when it comes to Hawaiian Airlines, when it comes to Emirates, when it comes to American Airlines, JetBlue, we're talking all of these. And you look at the cruises, Wyndham. Wyndham's got a business card with them too. So it's like you have a plethora of travel cards on Barclays that people are not utilizing. Number one, because people don't know about it because the influencers aren't talking about it. Number two, they also have very stringent rules like Chase, where they're very, very sensitive to new accounts and new inquiries. But the other thing is what people don't realize is if you want a really big credit card limit, Barclays will give that to you. Like they will give that to you. I just got the business aviator card and got a $25,000 limit on it. And I can't wait to get home and get it because it was like a 70 or 80,000 airline miles. And you just taught me flying first class on Qatar, like what that can be like when you're using miles. So I think we're talking about some of the biggest credit cards that people aren't talking about. I say Barclays is there. I just think that people aren't well-informed or misinformed about them.
Yeah, with the Barclays cards, so there's the bubblegum card, like you mentioned, the Aviator Red, where all you have to do is buy a stick of gum or something, and then you get 60,000 American Airlines miles, which is almost enough to fly Q Suites, one of the best business class products from the US over to the Middle East or to the Maldives even. That's almost enough. I think it's usually 70,000 miles. You mentioned the Wyndham business card, which if you get that card, you have automatic top tier status with Wyndham, and you can status match that to Caesars. And since the Caesars MGM status match is kind of not really a thing anymore, that's the main way that you can easily get Caesars status without getting like the founder's card or something like that, which we can talk about in a little bit, even though it's not really like a real card. But there are a ton of good Barclays cards. And unfortunately, Barclays doesn't pay us commissions on the affiliate side, so people don't talk about them as much. But I didn't even know that they will offer some of the highest credit limits, which is a really nice thing to have if you're building up your credit and you need to keep your utilization low. Sometimes I guess you could just not put a lot of money on your credit card, but then you're missing out on points. If you can afford to pay it off in full every month, and having a larger credit limit would be great.
Right. And the other thing is too, is Barclays pulls from TransUnion. So a lot of people get caught up with running credit card applications, just shotgunning it out, not understanding who they pull from. Right. So it's really important to understand when you're, and you've probably talked about this many times in your podcast, that before you go ahead and pull the trigger on a credit card, know who they're pulling from, number one, and know the data points, know what they're looking for in underwriting to go ahead and give you an automatic approval or a manual review. You need to know that information, because when it comes into Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, Citi's pulling from this, Barclays pulling from this, you know, Chase is pulling from this. You don't even know if they have a 524 rule with Chase. Then you're kind of stuck. You're going to automatically get denied. So that's what I'm trying to do on the YouTube side, is not only inform people about credit, but understanding how to actually get approved, so you're not wasting these inquiries, because these inquiries are so, so valuable.
We actually have never talked about that on the podcast before. Who pulls from where, and why does it matter if somebody's pulling from TransUnion versus Equifax versus someone else? And why am I never automatically approved? Why does Chase always say, okay, we need to like run it again and then like wait 10 days and then I'm approved after 10 days every single time, and then my husband's automatically approved? Like, why is that happening?
Well, your husband's the jewel of the world, okay? So that's number one. That's why he's always approved, number one. Number two, literally when it comes to the... This is going to be a great conversation here. I think this is going to add a lot of value to people. I can actually give you the information for your viewers of what, who pulls from what. But when it comes to Barclays, they pull from TransUnion. When it comes to for Citi, so let me even take it one step further. Barclays card is a hard pull from TransUnion. They're inquiry and new account sensitive. So if you're going to get a Barclays card, you want to have that in the beginning of your sequence, or when you're starting credit, you want to have that in the beginning of your sequence, because what happens is if you have 4 to 5, 3 new accounts within the last 6 months, you're going to look hungry and desperate for credit. Barclays automatically going to deny you, or they're going to put you through like a CIA interview to get you approved. And it's going to be worse than buying a home. Okay. So they're very, very notorious for denials when it comes to new accounts. The biggest thing when it comes to an underwriter or a bank, right? You got to think of yourself as the bank, as the underwriter. Would I approve you? Would I like what I'm seeing here? Right. So your credit report is really your resume, right? Your credit profile is your resume. Your credit score is your reputation. Okay. Everybody, your reputation is your credit score, and your resume is your credit report. These are two different things. When you apply for a card, not to even add more fuel to the fire, but when you apply for a card, it's not just about your credit score. It's actually about your credit profile. Because what happens is when you apply for credit, you may have no credit, or you may have great credit. But if you have great credit and you've just ran 6 accounts in the last 6 months, you look desperate. You're denied even with a perfect credit score. You wouldn't even have a perfect credit score if you did that, because your score would automatically go down. But you could have a mid high 700, low 100, 700 score and be denied for these cards that you'd normally be approved for, just because when they pull your report and they see new accounts and they see inquiries, they say, uh-oh, they're looking for credit. What's going on here, right? So the goal is to not have any more than 2 to 3 accounts within the last 6 months, and no more than 2 to 3 inquiries within the 6 months. Now you could say, well, how do people get like 12 credit cards at one time? Or how do people get 10 credit cards at one time? What they do is they plan out what we call our funding sequence, right? Where they target what cards am I going to go for and who do they pull from? So you could say, okay, I'm going to go for the Chase Sapphire card, and I'm going to go for the Citi Executive Platinum American Airlines card, right? These both pull from Experian. So you would not want to pull any more from Experian automatically, right? That you'd want to note that these are the two cards you want to go for. Then you want to go for Equifax. And this is where the credit unions come into play, because a lot of the credit unions are going to actually pull from Equifax because they're old school, right? Equifax doesn't have a lot of personal cards being pulled from them, right? The Bilt card is also Wells Fargo. That's Experian, okay? So in my opinion, you really want to find a couple good credit unions in your area, right? PenFed is one of them that's nationwide that gives great limits. If you've had a bankruptcy or you have horrible credit, or if you're repairing your credit, they will approve for you for the lowest card possible, which is the gold card. So PenFed is open nationwide. You don't have to be military affiliated. There's other credit unions in your backyard that most likely will pull from Equifax, but you just have to do the research. That's what my channel and other people's channels are for. When it comes to TransUnion, that's going to be big for Navy Federal, the king of all credit unions. We can talk about why that's popular if you want. And then also Barclays pulls from them as well. So the biggest thing is understanding your credit profile before you apply. What do I have on there right now? What are my limits right now? What am I most likely to get approved for? What will I be denied for? Do I have a bunch of bad stuff on there? Do I have a ton of store cards in there? Do I have a bunch of authorized users on there? There's a lot of these different things that are negative connotations to a bank, right? They're hip to the game. They've been into this way too long. So when it comes to that, you really got to understand, what is my score? What is my profile? And what has been my credit activity been in the last 3 to 6 months? The biggest thing is 6 months, right? 3 months are super sensitive. 6 months is kind of like the standard. After 6 months, then you're fine, right? For the most part, credit inquiries only stay on your report and affect your score for 12 months. They stay on your report for 24 months. So they'll see the inquiries on your report for 24 months, but they won't affect your score, and they most likely won't affect underwriting or your approval. When it comes to automatic approvals, there's a lot of gems here, okay? The thing about automatic approvals is nobody's really looking at these applications. They're automatically approved based on X, Y, and Z algorithms, right? That's how these things are approved. Now, if there's red flags, if there's different addresses, if there's different spellings of a name, if there's anything that messes with the computer saying, I can't automatically approve this, that's where the manual underwriting comes into play. Barclays notorious for that, right? So I had a manual review. I'm like, crap, I got denied. Nope, next day, I got approved for the limit that I told you about with the Barclays card. So that is very common. Manual reviews are very common with credit unions, like Navy Federal. It's very common with Barclays. It's very common with mid-sized, small banks, credit unions that are very archaic in their technology and actually have to have a human look over the application. But the big boys, the big girls, Bank of America, Citi, Chase, Wells Fargo, they have the system like ironed out where you can just go A to Z and usually automatically get an automatic approval given your stuff is right.
So for anybody who doesn't tend to get automatically approved with Chase, I would assume this happens a lot more with women who have maybe changed their last name or something. They don't get automatically approved.
Yes, yes, yes. Very good point. I never even thought about that. Yes, that's a great point. Yep.
I move a lot. Granted, my husband always moves with me, so whatever. They're like, oh, he's fine. He's always automatically approved, even though we've been at the same address all the time for like the past decade.
You better not move. We're in Vegas, by the way. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you better not move. You're my favorite neighbor in Vegas. So literally, like, I love coming home to talk travel hacking with Julia. Just so you know, we are neighbors. Don't stalk us, but we are neighbors.
We are neighbors. Yep, that is That's a thing. Yeah, for people who are not automatically approved, I'm sure at some point in an application, I put like my middle initial in there, and then on some I didn't. So that's probably triggering a thing. Mm-hmm. And my husband has just filled out all of his applications perfectly. So he's been denied like once by Citi. You were talking earlier about how Chase and Citi are pulling from the same thing, and then credit unions are pulling from Experian. For all the credit cards that people who listen to this podcast normally get, whether it's Chase Sapphire, Amex Gold, Citi Premier, Bilt, which you said pulls from a different one, and Capital One, do all of those tend to just pull from the same place so you can't really stack up too many of those? Or how are people doing those kinds of apparamas?
Yeah, so here's what happens, right? So there's a whole game to this credit card funding thing, right? So when you're going for what we call funding, or you're doing an app spree. So when you do that, you want to usually have like a LastPass, or you want to have things automatically filled out. Okay. Here's the thing. The moment that you submit an application, it gets notified to the bureau. So the moment that you apply for a Chase card, Experian's getting notified. So if you then run a Citi app longer than a minute, maybe 45 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, they're going to catch that, right? So they're going to say, oh, they just applied for Chase. So that could reduce the limit that you get approved for, or it could trigger a denial. And my findings from when I work with clients, 2 is fine. But when you start getting into 3 and 4, that's where it becomes iffy. Gem for you guys. If you're going to be using American Express in your funding sequence, they don't care. What they care about is the score, right? So where you have Chase that's new account sensitive, American Express is like, baby, have 50. We don't care. Just have a good credit score. Make sure you don't owe us money and make sure you're on time with your payments. So knowing that information, you can say, well, I'll just apply for the platinum or the gold or the business gold or whatever the case is last, because I know now that American Express isn't going to deny based on new accounts or inquiries. They're more focused about, have I made all my payments on time? What does my actual score look like, right? Because American Express isn't only a bank. They're also like Visa and MasterCard, right? They're actually like Discover. Discover and American Express are in the same ball camp, right? So that's that. When you're actually running multiple apps, here's a hack for you guys, okay? You either want to do one of two things. First of all, you want to be applying for these things. Don't be applying for, I'll get to that in a second, when it comes to mid-size and credit unions, that's a whole different hack. But when it comes to the big banks, you can have 2 devices up, right? Have 2 computers up. Have 2 computers, not even 2 tabs. If you want to do the tabs, that's fine, but it takes time. I usually have 2 computers up. I fill out all of the apps on two different tabs on each computer. I push submit, and then I click on the X tab on both computers, and I push submit. Like, and I do that within 15 to 20 seconds, because now all of them are getting hit by the same time. So it's kind of like when you buy a car, right? You buy a car, the bureaus aren't going to be notified for that and for 30 to 45 days. So you want to buy 2 cars, run it at the same time, or get the cars before they report. The same thing here goes with the credit cards, but accelerated, because this is all automatic, right? So you want to make sure that that is pushed like under 15 seconds, under 20 seconds if you can. Click, tab, click, boom, you should be good to go. Will that always be the case? No, but in most situations, that will happen.
So a lot of people will often write me and be like, hey, I applied for this card yesterday. Do you think I can also like slide in another card application today? No, it's too late. It's been 24 right. hours. It's already Absolutely. Hit. So if you're going to do multiple card applications, you have to intentionally plan for it beforehand, yes. like Rad said.
Yes, yes. And that goes down to what you don't know is what you don't know, right? So when it comes to the travel hacking game, people could be wasting their points because they don't know any different. It's not your fault. When it comes to applying for credit cards, there's a strategy to that too. What are they looking for? What are they profiling for? Things like that. And another thing, when you said the females that changed their last name getting married, another thing I thought about is, you know, my girl, she's Indonesian, right? So she has a long name. So when she, if she were to come to America and she were to maybe use her middle name instead of her first name, right? That could trigger things too, eventually when things are being built out. So for people that are coming from other countries or longer last names or maybe non-traditional names in America, that could be also a hiccup. So just be aware of how that could look to a bank. And if you feel like there's any problems, definitely call reconsideration. Hey, why was I denied? I shouldn't be denied. My credit's great. I've been banking with you. Another hack too for people, I don't think it's talked about enough, is I tell people to date before they marry, right? That's a good common practice in the real world. That's a great common practice when you're going for funding. Meaning, if you're going to be working with Chase, it's really great to, before you apply for a Chase Sapphire, to get in their banking system, open a checking and a savings account. Why? Well, because now you're a partner of the bank. Because anytime you put in money, they're going to lend up 10% of what you put in there. 10 times, I mean. That's fractional banking in a nutshell. You put $100 in, Chase can lend $1,000, right? So now you're actually a partner with the bank, whether that's Citi, whether that's Chase, whether that's Wells Fargo, whether that's First Bank, FNBO. You're a partner with the bank. So they're actually getting to leverage your money to build their wealth, right? On top of that, you're now in their marketing system, so they can send you flyers, they can get you loans, they can get you lines of credit, they can get you student loans, they can get you refinancing on the home, they can get you HELOC. So now they love you, not only because they can use your money, but now they can market to you for free. Now they can pitch you other products. And now you look like a more reputable person to actually do business with, where somebody coming right off the streets of Vegas applying for a Chase card, they're like, you look great and all on paper, but we don't know you. But somebody coming off the streets of Vegas that has, hey, I've been with Chase for 5 years. You've been using my money for 5 years. You got a personal loan with me. I refinanced my home with you. I've got a home mortgage with you. I'm in bed with you. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's basically, I think a lot of people don't realize the power of relationship banking. I teach that in my program. I teach that on my channel. You don't know what you don't know, but relationship banking is the key to being able to get high limits, high approvals. And another thing is, as you know, you may or may not know this, but there's a thing called relationship bankers. And when you start getting into the Chase In cards and you start getting into the Chase Business credit cards, the biggest secret, the biggest gem to get approved for these cards, you can actually bypass 524 rule with the Business Inc. cards, given you're working with a business relationship manager, because that manager is filling out the application, submitting it to underwriting. Underwriting's maybe asking some questions or giving a counteroffer. And this is how you're getting the $50,000 to $75,000 business credit card approvals at 0% for a year. Talk about that for starting up your business and leveraging the points.
Do you still get the sign-up bonuses like you would if you apply online? Or is it a different offer if you are applying through a relationship banker?
So that is a great question. From what I'm aware of, the sign-on bonuses will not happen in most cases with a relationship banker. So that is a kicker. But if you're going for the 0% and you want to leverage that credit card at 0%, and side note for people that don't know this, business credit in most cases does not report to personal credit. There is some caveats to that when it comes to Discover, when it comes to Cap. I call it Capital One. I'm not a Capital One fan. So let's just call it Capital One. Capital One, we got Discover, right? These are cards that will report to personal credit. But American Express, Chase, Barclays, Citi, they will not unless you default or you miss a payment. So when you do a business credit card, you're basically personally guaranteeing, meaning if you don't pay the credit card, they're coming after you for it because you're co-signing on behalf of your business. I'm trying to make it super simplistic. But basically, when you go in for these business credit cards, the relationship manager uses you as a co-signer for your business. They submit the application, and most likely they're going to be able to get these things approved, given you have over a 720 credit score and you have a decent profile built out. You can get these high 0% cards. And the thing is people are, what's crazy to me, Julie, is people are charging 10 to 15% to help people get approved for these. All they're doing, all you have to do is go into a dang Chase bank anywhere in the world, say, hey, listen, I'd like to talk to a relationship business manager. They'll say, what for? You say, I'm looking to open up a business checking account, a business savings account. I'm looking to do business and start doing banking with my business here. And I'm looking to actually make a hefty deposit or a handsome deposit. Why does that matter? Because that gets their attention that, okay, we now have a banking business client, and those are worth way more than a consumer client. Because as you know, business credit is meant for business banking, right? So many people are operating their businesses off personal credit, which is not designed for. Business credit cards can give you 3 to 5x the limits and longer 0% terms and better rewards, right? And the thing is now when you start getting into the business cards, the business aviator card, the business Alaska card, the business whatever with Chase card, right? The business United card. Now you're getting the travel cards for your business, higher limits, better sign-on bonuses. And now you're really able to just rack it up. Why? Because check this out. These cards do not report to your personal credit, meaning these lines of 50,000, 40,000, 30,000, they will not be showing up on your personal credit profile. They will be what we call ghost cards, in the sense of you won't see them unless you mess up and you don't pay, right? So that is a big hack for people that don't know.
So for a lot of these business credit cards, most people who listen to this podcast are usually just opening them for the sign-up bonus. Would this play still be useful for someone if they're going in for a business banker, but they're not going to get the sign-up bonus anyway? Most people don't really need to leverage that much money or get that high of a credit limit, right? Like, it doesn't matter to have that high of a credit for business credit cards that don't report to your personal credit score if you're just in it for a large 90,000 point sign-up bonus?
It doesn't, but it's nice to have. If they're going to give it to you, why not have it? I always tell people, get credit when you don't need it versus when you need it. that's kind of my thing with funding. When it comes to the relationship banking, that they just want the sign-on bonus, they don't really care about the limit, I still would go in, set up a business Chase account, and put money in there for 90 days and then apply online. Why? Because now you already have the banking relationship with them. You didn't apply with the card with the relationship banker, but you've opened up the business account. You've started putting money in the account. That's what we call data points, bank score, right? So automatic approvals happen even better when you have a situation like that. So if you're not wanting to work with a relationship manager, as far as to get the credit card approval, definitely go in there to make sure your stuff is set up correctly, right? Make sure it's set up correctly. Because another thing is people don't realize is when they set up business bank accounts, they normally are not putting the correct information in properly, which also leads to denials, whether you do it online or through a relationship banker. Because if you're putting, hey, listen, I'm a real estate investor, that's what we call a high risk industry. If you put, you're a real estate investor on any credit app, you're going to get denied, whether you do it online or through a bank. So that's another thing when it comes to funding, is making sure that your business is represented properly to the banks. So if you want to go into Chase, say, I want to talk to a relationship banker, open up a checking and savings account, put money in there, have some money flowing through there, and then plan out your funding sequence like what we talked about, target the cards, and then apply online and you'll get the sign-on bonus.
Yeah, that's a really good tip for people who find themselves getting denied often because like maybe your business isn't like a real business, or they're like, oh, you sold some stuff on Facebook Marketplace. That's not good enough. If you do have that banking relationship and then you try again next time, your chances are going to be better. I've seen that happen with a lot of people. All right, we've talked about Barclays. We've talked about how to do an apparama and get multiple apps in if you wanted to get more than one credit card at a time. You mentioned credit unions earlier. If someone's just in the credit card game to get a whole bunch of points so that they can travel for free, should these be on our radar?
They should be, but here's the good and the bad about this, all right? You're a big points queen, right? So you're big on things transferring back and forth. The problem with cards like Navy Federal, here's the good and the bad about Navy Federal. Let's just talk about Navy Federal credit cards, because that's the one of the biggest search term on YouTube is Navy Federal credit cards, believe it or not, okay? The reason why Navy Federal credit cards are so popular is because people with a 660, 640 can get approved for a $25,000 credit card on the first go around. That's crazy. The other thing is you can soft pull and pre-qualify before you even apply. So now you're not wasting an inquiry, and people that are rebuilding or restoring their credit are able to get their first major five-figure credit card on the radar, on the report, right? $10,000, $25,000 is incredibly likely, okay? That's a big deal. Credit unions serve the people, banks serve the bank, right? So that's the difference. There's a lot of differences with that. But they're really big because of there's no ATM fees whatsoever with their accounts. So when you open up an account, you can be anywhere in the world and never be charged an ATM. If you are charged, you're refunded every single month. It's beautiful. Their bank, the way that they bank, I've never seen anybody bank like Navy Federal. Navy Federal, in my opinion, is the GOAT of all banking, period, end of story. There's a lot of hacks with them that we could even do a whole episode just on Navy Federal hacks. So if your people want that, we'll come back and do just Navy Federal hacks.
The hacks are related to traveling on points, because I personally am not familiar with the Navy Federal system at all. Would that be useful for somebody who's trying to use credit cards in order to gain points in order to travel? Or what kind of hacks are we talking about?
Well, when it comes to hacks, they're more so hacks to get approved and start building up your actual profile.
So this is most useful for people who are building up their credit. If they're listening to this and like, oh, I'm nowhere near 720 yet. Navy Federal is a good place to start. We've often talked about the Discover It card for getting a secured card or something, but Navy Federal is also a good play.
Yes, because when you said Discover It card, graduating to an unsecured card, same as with the Navy Federal secured card, it will actually unsecure in 6 months, and they'll give you a credit limit increase, and you can apply for another card and usually get approved for $25,000. So when the hacks come to actually building out your profile, building out your score, rebuilding, building out a really solid banking relationship with one bank, which leads to others. When it comes to the travel side, their major card is called the flagship card. It's a Visa signature card, okay? The card goes up to an $80,000 limit. That's a big limit for a personal card. The problem is with the card that most people don't talk about is there is no transfer partners. Right? So it's cash back. That's cool. It's not sexy when it comes to travel hacking, but it's great for cash back. It's great for whatever else you want. Practical use, like the card is amazing, but you're not going to be able to say, let me switch over my points into Emirates or Qatar or American. There's no actual travel points or partners. It's basically just cash back. Here's our system. Go buy something like that. Or here's cash back for your statement, or we put this in your account, things like that. So Navy Federal is really great for building out solid reports and scores that lead to huge other banking relationships. But also not only that, like your credit isn't just for travel. It's for actually living a life that's more affordable, right? And so that's a gateway to that. But when it comes to travel hacking, I'm not for the credit unions because they just don't have, the credit unions do not have the play with their cards to really do damage like the big banks. They just don't.
I think that the play with credit unions that a lot of people who are deep into this game are more into is when you start doing like weird things with money orders, like the gift cards and the manufacturer spending and the money orders. If you are depositing all of those money orders into your primary bank where you're like paying your mortgage off with that, stop. Don't do that.
Right.
Because you can get shut down. Right. So that's what a lot of people will open the secondary credit union account and then move it into your primary if those are the types of games that you want to play. But if you are one of those people who are like, I heard manufacturer spending is like the answer to everything, I'm going to go buy a whole bunch of Visa gift cards and then turn them into money orders and then somehow stuff that back into my primary bank account. Don't, especially if that's what you're using to pay off like your kids' school fees and your mortgage and your cars and everything. It's risky. So I would not do that. That's like the dark web stuff. Any other credit cards that, or bank accounts or anything that people don't really talk about, but would be useful for somebody who is into the travel hacking game and trying to earn more points so that they can travel more of the world for next to no cost, other than we talked about Barclays is probably the hidden gem right there.
There's one that I would want to mention that I don't feel like gets the love, and I don't know how you feel about it. I'd love to have a quick dialogue about it, if you don't mind. Citi. I'm a Citi fan. Most people are not a Citi fan. I don't know why people are not a Citi fan. They have the business card with Costco. They have the business card with American Airlines. I have the American Airlines business card. They have like three other, if not four other cards on their lineup on the personal side, one of which gives you Admirals Club. Great sign-on bonuses. Citi also does soft pull credit limit increases where Barclays doesn't. You can really, really, really rack up the status with American Airlines by just using these cards, whether it's on the Barclay or Citi. But I love Citi because Citi's giving me soft pulls and Barclay's not. Citi has a business card just like Barclay has, and you can double dip and have both of them, not just and or. How do you feel about Citi?
I'm sad that they declined my husband for the Citi Premier.
Oh.
But I do like my Citi American Airlines card, and that is how I will probably maintain my executive platinum statuses in the future, is just to put a lot of spend on my American Airlines card. And I know that people talk about the Chase trifecta all the time, where you have the Chase Sapphire as your gateway card, and then you have your Chase Freedom Flex to get the multiplier, and then you have a Chase Freedom Unlimited to kind of do your miscellaneous spend. No one ever talks about the Citi trifecta, where you have the Citi Premier as your gateway card, and then you have the Citi everyday card where you get 2 miles all the time. And there's the Citi custom cashback card where you can get like 5% back on your top spending category up to $500 spent each billing cycle. So that can kind of be like a Chase Freedom Flex, except with a lower limit and more flexible because you can choose what your top category is. So if you combine all of those into your Citi Premier, then it's just kind of like you have your Citi trifecta instead of a Chase trifecta. But very few people ever talk about that strategy, which is interesting because we do have affiliate links for Citi cards, but I guess no one wants to talk about the Citi trifecta for whatever reason. All right, so we do have Citi links, but are there any other cards that you like?
You put me onto the Bilt card. I wasn't a big believer in Bilt until you really broke that down for me. I really do like the Bilt card a lot. I can't believe the travel partners that they have with that. I know that that Venture X card is probably big. I am just not a Capital One fan. I don't see the reason of pulling all three bureaus for one credit application. That's absolutely ludicrous. The hard pulls, absolutely ludicrous for the credit limit increases. I'm just not Capital One. Chase, I'm a big Chase guy. I can't wait to get into the door. I think that goes it for when it comes to actual travel. Another card that I think goes unnoticed, I guess I want to tell people about this card, and this, you can take this or leave this. The Apple card for me is a huge win with Goldman Sachs. I love the Apple card, okay? A lot of people don't like the Apple card, but it, when we're talking about Navy Federal for building out a score and a profile, this is important, guys, to get, ladies and gentlemen, to get approved for travel, premium travel cards. You need to have a good score. How to get a good score quickly is by making on-time payments quickly. Getting started in credit is a whole nother podcast. You need people to take a chance on you, and you really need to go for cards that's going to give you a high approval on your first or second shot. So that way you're not getting approvals for 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Like, you're building out solid. You're using an inquiry solid. Apple card is a card now that I have a $40,000 limit on that I started with a $3,000 limit. And every credit limit increase was a soft pull. Every credit limit increase was every 3 months. If you want an Apple product, whether it be an iPhone, a MacBook, Mac, I know you're team Google over there, but I'm team Apple. I drink the Apple juice. So I can get 0% on all of their products, and I can get, I think, 3% cash back at Apple on top of the 0%. So when you're starting rebuilding your credit, I know it's not a travel card, but the card is phenomenal for building, starting, rebuilding credit. And get this, it's, they actually pre-approve you with the limit that they're going to approve you for. If you actually, once you get that pre-approval, you can go lock your TransUnion before you accept the offer, and then they'll give you the card without pulling your TransUnion because it's locked. But that's a whole nother hack.
When it comes to getting these really high credit limits, does it matter for somebody who is just going to get a sign-up bonus and then stick the card in their sock drawer, use it once a year to make sure it doesn't get shut down due to inactivity? If the sign-up bonus on a card is like, spend $5,000 in 3 months and they give you a $6,000 credit limit, does it matter for most people that they only gave you $6,000 instead of $60,000 as a credit limit on that card that you're never going to use?
No, it doesn't matter, but you got to think about what it looks like on your credit report, right? So if you have a bunch of cards with $5,000, $6,000 limits, it doesn't look quality, right? Because it looks like that they're really not giving you high limits. Banks that give you high limits show that people are responsible with credit. So I think part of the biggest problem that I have in the travel hacking game is people are churning and burning their relationships because they're just opening cards, canceling them, open them cards, canceling, get cards, run more cards. And they're not understanding that credit isn't just for travel. It's for business. It's for life. It's for living, right? And so people are also not realizing that, yes, I might get approved for a credit card for $3,000. And yes, I might get the sign-on bonus, but I'm not realizing how this is affecting me if I want to go apply for a home. If I want to go apply, and I got all of these crappy credit cards, or I got 20 credit cards, 15 credit cards with anywhere from a $3,000 to a $10,000 limit. Like, banks want to be able to see that you've had long relationships with them. They also want to see that you've had high limits with them. So I like the quality over the quantity. So I would like to add to the travel hacking community. Let's do the travel hacks. Let's go after the best cards. Let's go after the best sign-on bonuses. But let's do it right, people. Let's actually set ourselves up for a high limit on top of that sign-on bonus. Because remember, your credit profile, your credit report is your actual reputation to getting more funding whenever that time comes. You may not think you want that house now, but shoot, you might fall in love in 3 months and say, I need a house now, right? Or you may not think that you want to start that business, but you know what? One light bulb might come on the next day and say, I really hate my job. I want to start a business. So you don't know what you don't know. So don't pigeon yourself for short-term gain. It's like the science experiment. They left two Oreos and then they said, if you don't eat them, you get four or something like that. Like, don't settle for the short term. Settle for the quality over the quantity. That's really what I like to add to the travel hacking community.
I love that, because people all the time are like, hey, I saw that there's a sign-up bonus that's increased for this card, but we're buying a house. Like, should I go for the card? I'm like, no, dude, you're going to get like $1,000 of free travel versus the interest rate that you're going to have on that house. If that goes up and you have to pay that extra percent for the next 15 years, 30 years or whatever, that's going to be a lot more than $1,000. So I absolutely love that message of put real money before fake money. And it comes into play here too, because people all the time are like, oh, well, my credit score is over 800 and opening 20 cards has really, really helped my credit profile. Maybe in the short term, maybe not if you want to go into real estate investing or something else in the future, or if you just one day come across some kind of investment opportunity that really fits what you want to do. And then you're not qualified because you decided to ignore the advice of you don't need 20 cards. And everybody's like, oh, you totally need 20 cards. What could go wrong? Maybe something in the future. And it is worth playing the game for quality instead of quantity. I completely agree.
And honestly, too, with what you just said there, really resonates to me, because this is obviously the power of your story, right? When I started building my credit from YouTube, I watched all the YouTubers. I wanted to know how to get an American Express card. I wanted to know how to get a Chase card. The reason why I didn't get a Chase card is because I applied for too many cards, right? I didn't know what I didn't know. So don't set yourself up for failure by just going out applying blindly to all the things that people show you on YouTube because they want you to click on their links. Case in point to what you say, right? They just want you to click on their links. But the thing is people are not realizing that they don't care about your future. They just want you to click on the link, okay? They just want you to watch the YouTube video that's clickbaity. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, just really understand what you're getting into is figure out what you really want. Where do I want to travel? What airline do I want to be on? What hotel do I want to stay in? Do these align? Okay, great. What cards are out there for me? Great. Let me map this thing out. Let me strategize. And then let me get my feet wet before I go freaking crazy with it. Because you may get into this game and understand that travel hacking isn't really what you want, right? Like, it's cool to travel here and there. Like, people that want to be a digital nomad until they realize that air conditioners go out in Bali and that the internet, that speeds suck, right? So it's like, it's all sexy and game on social media until it's not, right? So just give yourself room to grow and learn, and don't just jump in 1,000. I'm a jump in 1,000 mile an hour kind of guy, and it screwed me in credit. It screwed me, especially when I went after all the travel cards when I first got started. And then as I learned credit, I said, man, I was really irresponsible of how I got into this game. Let me now pivot with what I know and really go after what I really want instead of going after everything.
Yeah, this game is fun. Obviously, I have fun with this game. I teach a lot of people who also have fun with this game. But at some point, there are bigger things to invest in, and there are bigger money plays than getting $20,000, $30,000, $500,000 of travel for free. There are actually bigger games to be played where you get to be on a private jet and not have to deal with points on it, where you just have money to do that. That is one of my longer term goals. And I know that some people listening to this are like, that's crazy. We're listening to this podcast to learn about how to travel for free with points and miles. It's not the end all be all. And I like to keep reminding people to put real money before fake money.
That's great, girl. That's great advice.
Well, cool. Well, speaking of great advice, if you had to take all of your knowledge about credit and wrap it into one great piece of advice that I can fit onto an Instagram quote card, what would your number one piece of advice be?
Don't listen to what people tell you. Do the research for yourself. Go where you're treated best. Do business with who treats you best, and go after what you want.
I love it. And speaking of great advice also, can you give shout outs to a couple of people on the internet who you would recommend listeners go follow for even more points and miles tips?
Well, first of all, if you're not subscribed to Geo Breeze Travel, that's my sister from another mister. Like, she's the queen of travel. I know she did not pay me to say this stuff too. Let me put that disclaimer out there. I just really believe, girl, that you are literally the best at travel hacking. I'm not just saying that because I'm on your podcast. This also is my first guest appearance on a podcast, so thank you for having me. But I really believe, I love your tactical approach to getting things done. You've taught me a lot. You've taught my students a lot. You've taught my community a lot. For people that know, she generally came in and dropped 6 hours of travel hacking game in my program, which like is invaluable. So that's number one. So if you're not following her, you're an idiot. Follow her. And I say that with all like bluntness, follow the girl. And subscribe to her YouTube channel too. Like, that needs to get popping. Credit Gems is another one. He's an up and coming travel hacker. Want to link the two of you together in Vegas here soon. Really great guy, really tactical young guy. I think 21, 22, really taking over the travel game, looks at travel differently, really financially responsible at the game as well. And is a dope content creator, right? And so I really love that aspect about him. And he's an anti-guru kind of guy like myself. We're part of the anti-guru club, we call it. you're in the anti-guru club too. We just don't drink and preach the Kool-Aid with that. The last person I'd probably want to shout out is my boy Dub Washington in the African-American community, really leveling up the Black community when it comes to travel hacking. He's kind of really started going all out for travel hacking now, showing lifestyle of him and his family together. And so he's traveling to Costa Rica, he's traveling to the Bahamas, and he is not just doing amazing things for his family. He's documenting his family. He's creating memories with his children, with his wife. I used to be a timeshare sales agent, believe it or not, when I first got started in sales. So I used to tell people, listen, you don't love your kid if you don't take him to go see Minnie Mouse, you're a selfish joker, right? So I was that guy. So I've been in the travel game, but on the timeshare side. So I really do value family spending time together, couples spending time together. Life is busy and it's easy to get lost in the sauce. And so having people go out and travel together, making memories, making experiences, that's what life's about. That's why I love travel hacking. That's why I love travel. That's why I love seeing new places. And I love seeing families do that. So Dub Washington, you can check him out on YouTube. He's starting a channel. But those are the people that I love. You, that's the trifecta for me. Geo Breeze, Credit Gems, and Dub Washington, okay? I'm not your travel guy. I'm your leverage guy. Listen, I will tell you how to leverage the crap out of everything. And credit is just honestly not my end goal. My end goal is to see people get the money to build wealth, to launch their dreams. So my whole movement is called Radical Nation, loving people and launching dreams.
Perfect. And where can we find you? Mostly on YouTube, Instagram?
Radical Marketer, spell it with a K because I'm not normal, right? So we're going to spell Radical always with a K, R-A-D-I-K-A-L, Radical Marketer on YouTube. Got it right now as we're talking. I think 137,000 subscribers is flying. The channel's going crazy. Talk about a lot of business credit there. A lot of personal credit too. The other channel that I have is Radical Hughes. That'll be a lot more personal credit, a lot more travel hacking, a lot more content creation based. So people that are into the whole travel hacking, content creation, personal credit, that'll be your tribe. But if you're into the business credit side of things, then the Radical Market is going to be for you.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Rad, so much for coming on to the show. We learned so much about the credit cards nobody really talks about, how to get a lot more credit cards if you want to do that, and the quality over quantity of your credit profile. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Geo Breeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!